Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. By the way, be sure and drop us a note or, and this is new, send us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, your favorite vacation story, that kind of thing. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder and send the file, or just a note if you'd rather, to our email address at indianaweekend@gmail.com. On this week's show, this year's summer blockbuster movies include the latest Star Trek film, of course. By the way, for 50 points, how many Star Trek movies do you think there have been? We'll get to that in a minute, but first consider this. Star Trek Into Darkness opened at number one at the box office, earning $71 million in its first weekend a few weeks ago. And like other big franchise films, the Star Trek series and TV shows have their devoted superfans. We met some in the lobby of a theater in Anderson, where the latest film was playing. They were in uniform, actually, an official outing of the USS Endeavor fan club to raise money for autism research. They had a replica of Captain Kirk's command chair from the original Star Trek, and for only $5, you could sit in it and get your picture taken. So, of course, I did. And then talk to some real true blue Star Trek fans.
I'm Roy Jackson. I'm with the USS Endeavor. And we're doing a fundraiser for autism research. So we have a captain's chair and a backdrop. People get their picture taken, either digitally or printed. And all the money goes to autism research.
This looks like the chair from the original...
Yeah, the original series.
Yeah.
The original series chair.
Let's go look at it, can we?
Okay, sure.
Tell me what we're looking at here.
Okay. Well, Mark Williams, actually, he's really into props and a lot of prop forums, and he knew a guy who had blueprints. So we actually were able to blow up the blueprints and cut the stuff out of wood. And I built the black part in the arms, and Mark covered the other part, found something that would swivel, and found the carpeting and everything. And we have about 80 man hours into building this chair. Mark also did all the wiring and found all the lights and things to match.
In the past, there were people known as Trekkers, Trekkies. What's the right nomenclature here?
Yeah, I would have to say the new ones are Trekkers. I'm old. I'm a Trekkie. Gene Roddenberry called the fans Trekkies, so I stick to that. But all of the new fans say they're Trekkers, and that's fine with me.
They reject the Trekkie label.
Right. They think Trekkies are weird and too far out there, but I think the Trekkers are too far out there. It just depends on who you ask.
What do they do that's too far out, though? I mean,
like the ones who will wear their uniforms to work. You know, or you probably saw the movie Trekkies about the woman who served on jury duty in her official Starfleet uniform. That's too far out there. So
it's going too far.
Yeah, you got to hang on to reality.
Now, how about learning Klingon? I mean, some
know Klingon. We have a few Klingons in our group. I have a Klingon dictionary because I don't know it. I have to look it up.
So, see if somebody's insulting you.
Right. Yeah.
And so you have the chair, and it looks like the command chair from the original Star Trek series, and behind it is a backdrop that looks like where I think Lieutenant Uhura would be sitting back there somewhere, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I just took a screen capture of the bridge and, you know, an 8x10, and I'm an art teacher, so I blew it up and painted it onto a canvas. So that way we have the backdrop and the chair for kind of a cool picture.
Many people stopping by?
Yeah, a lot of people are stopping by. Even those who aren't getting pictures are looking at it and loving it. So
you're a high school art teacher, and can you engage students? Do they relate to the Star Trek series?
More so with the new movies. It was kind of hard to reach them with Star Trek in the last 20 years, but here since the last two movies came out, they're real excited and they're getting into it more.
Okay. How do you explain the enduring popularity of this series, which goes back to, what, 1969?
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one. I don't know how to explain why it goes on. We're a member of Starfleet Command. It's been around since 74, and a fan club, and the Endeavor's been around for 10 years. We're a ship within Starfleet Command, and we just keep growing, and people keep loving it. And
so Starfleet Command is a fan group based in Anderson or all over?
Well, Starfleet Command is a worldwide organization. Quadrant 1 is the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And currently, I'm the fleet commander of Starfleet Command Quadrant 1 over North America. And that's why I stepped down as captain of the Endeavor to do that. And
You have different ships in Quadrant 1 and 1?
Yeah, we have different star bases. And Indiana is Starbase 6, all of Indiana. Within Starbase 6, the Endeavor is in Madison County. We do Alexandria, Anderson, and the surrounding area.
Is the popularity of membership in the group, is it going up? Is it going down? Is it staying the same? What's happening with membership?
It fluctuates. And when we first started, it went way up, and then it kind of stagnated and dropped off a little bit, and now it's going up again. So it's come back. I don't know if the movie had something to do with it or what, but it's becoming, the ship is becoming more popular.
What do you think of the latest generation of people playing Kirk and Mr. Spock?
Oh, they're great actors. You know, I think there's no way they could have brought back the originals. They're just way too old.
Did you see the viral video of original Spock and
oh,
new
yeah.
Spock?
Yeah, I love that. That's great.
What were they doing? They were arguing.
They were when they were racing to get to the golf course, and the younger Spock got there first, but the older Spock did the Vulcan neck pinch so that he could knock him out and get in there and win.
He said, "You haven't officially won yet. We haven't gone inside."
Yeah, and then he gave him the neck pinch.
Spocked him.
Yeah, Spock, right?
Tell me about when you first became a fan. I'm going to guess your age. You're obviously in your 30s.
I'm in my mid-50s, and I was a fan of the original series. I used to watch it when it was first aired, before reruns, and I've been a fan ever since. So
when you talk with folks, what do other fans, what do they cite as their, why they love this?
Some of them do it because of, like, the dream, Gene Roddenberry's dream of, a better future. Some people just love it because it's so intellectual and they address today's problems in a futuristic setting. And some people are just like prop builders and stuff, and they love to duplicate things and use Star Trek as their outlet for their artistic, creativity.
That's high school teacher Roy Jackson of the USS Endeavor Star Trek fan club based at Anderson. They are part of Starfleet Command, an international fan club started way back in 1974, a few years after the original show went off the air. The Endeavor crew was raising money for autism research the other day at an Anderson theater that was showing the new Trek film. The fans had a replica Captain Kirk command chair set up, and people were paying to have their photos taken in it. I'm not too proud to tell you I paid $5 to sit in the chair for a picture, to help a good cause and everything.
Beyond the rim of the starlight, my love, he wanders in starlight.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now, here's John Strauss.
That sounded just like Captain Kirk. Today we're talking with the Star Trek superfans, the people who've not only seen the latest film, Star Trek Into Darkness, but of course, all 11 Star Trek movies before that. They're enthusiastic enough to build a replica command chair from the Enterprise and take it to the theater at Mounds Mall in Anderson when the new movie came out. You could get your picture taken in the chair for $5 with the money going to an autism charity. These folks belong to an international fan club known as Starfleet Command. Great name, huh? One of them is Mark Williams, by day a manager at a solid waste business, a trash hauler, but in his other life, vice president of Starfleet Command with over 1,000 Star Trek collectibles in his basement. He's more than happy to show up in Mounds Mall looking like he just stepped off the bridge of his own starship, wearing a snappy military-style white dress jacket and black pants, kind of a space admiral with a sense of humor.
Most of the people I work with really don't know much about that I do anything like this.
What would they say? What would the people want?
Well, I can tell you what they would say. Like I was talking about earlier in my collection, it's massive. There's probably 1,500 plus items down there. A guy I work with wanted to borrow, I can't remember what, some kind of tool. And I said, well, it's in the cabinet in the basement. And he walked down the steps, he got to the bottom, he looked to the left and he looked to the right. Then he turned around, looked back up the stairs at me, and he said, but you seem so normal. I have a lot of fun with it. but okay, my friend Derek says there's two kind of geeks when this comes together, and he's a full-blown, overt, over-the-top geek. Okay, so he admits he's the outward geek, no doubt about it. He's retired Navy, too, but he admits. He says, then there's the inner geek. And he says, he's the outward geek, and I'm the inner geek. He said, if you just met Mark, and he was over here talking, you asked him where he worked, you would not think anything about it. But then you go to his house, and he's got 1,500 Star Trek collectibles. He said, me, I'm the kind of guy that's willing to put on a uniform and walk around, you know, Union Station or downtown or whatever, you know, and start handing out cards. Join my club. You know, but most of the ones that aren't into it are still kind of defensive of it. You know, it's like one of the guys that worked there where I do was kind of like, you know, he's made snickering. And then the other one said, yeah, you know, he does these things and he does these fundraisers, puts on his little costume. He said, you know, but what have you done? So I always make fun of him. I stick my tongue in my cheek. Like this. And I start going, yeah, yep, that NASCAR. Now that's drive 6 hours, sit in the sun, watch your car go by for 20 seconds. Well, that's a good time. Ain't nothing like putting on that silly costume that you wear. So they laugh. You know, the funny thing is, though, you know, I try to keep it low-key, and my daughter will be here about 2:30, and we'll go do these things. Sometimes the Anderson newspaper was there, and they took photographs, and I said, you know, really, please don't put me in the photographs. And the next day, there are 10 copies of this newspaper hung up all over the break room of me and my daughter.
So you're out there.
And so when I walk in, all the guys are like, what's up, Captain? I'm like, that's Admiral. I was on a blog radio program, and a guy asked me about, you know, as far as that, the club and stuff go. I go, really, on a small scale, I can understand what a movie star's talking about when you're just out with your family or whatever, and you're just having dinner, and somebody gets a little, you know. I said, on a very small scale, I've been in our mall walking through, you know, and someone will yell, hey, Admiral, and I'm like, yo, keep it down.
Because they're a friend. There's somebody else in the club, and they're greeting you.
Yeah, they're joking, and they're like, hey, Admiral. I'll say, keep that down low. Let's keep that low in front of the normal people.
Now, is there another national Star Trek group besides Starfleet?
Yes. Starfleet International. Starfleet Command and Starfleet International at one point was the same organization. And somewhere in the early 80s, depends on which side you talk to, that's why they split. I always say it's sort of like a band. When they break up, you know, the singer's got his point of view, and the guitarist has got his point of view, and
so who's selling the most albums now?
Well, they're larger, but we still consider ourselves the oldest. We have the name, which is most important. It's sort of like when the guitarist quits, but he doesn't get to call himself, or the singer quits, and he doesn't get to call himself Journey.
Who are the people who are members of this group?
The local groups. I don't know. I tell you what I think is involved. Most people find out about all the fundraisers and the charity stuff that the people do, and then I think that interests them and then gets involved, and then I think what happens after that is they make friends. Even though it's like when we have an Endeavor meeting and we seldom ever actually talk about Star Trek or anything related. I don't know. It's like I've known Roy for 10 years. I've known the guy. I've met people through this. To tell you the truth, I wasn't even... I didn't.
Oh, wait a minute. This is a startling admission that's coming up here.
I didn't even pay my own dues to join 92. There was three friends of mine. Jimmy Dewan, the guy who played Scotty, was here in Indianapolis. And on the way out, there was this application to join Starfleet Command. It took four people to start a club back then. And my buddy Larry's like, let's do it. And I'm like, no. So Larry paid my dues.
So they'd have enough people to start a...
Yeah, so they start their own little club. And it was called the Defiant. And we were young and really dumb. And we did something that I would say, no, you can't do that. It was Hurricane, was it Andrew? It was back in around 92 down in Florida. We decided to get on the phone and call all the local department stores and say ask if they would donate something to this in our name. And we actually got enough stuff to fill a semi. And then we found a trucking company that would haul it to Florida for us for free. So it followed us around town, and we loaded this semi, and it took off of Florida. And we won, the club gave us, you know, national level awards for that, this and that. And then I think what happened is it became more than just the four of us. We broke out into the larger group and met people.
That is Mark Williams of Starfleet Command, the Star Trek fan club formed in 1974. He and other members of the group's Anderson branch were at the Mounds Mall Theater the other day, offering photo ops in the Captain Kirk chair and hoping to sign up new members. If you'd like more information, go to our Facebook page. Just search Indiana Weekend on Facebook, and we've got a link for you.
Laddie, don't you think you should rephrase that?
You're right. I should. I didn't mean to say that the Enterprise should be hauling garbage. I meant to say that it should be hauled away as garbage.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
Talking today about the extraordinary success of the Star Trek film and television franchise, as evidenced by May's huge opening for the latest film, would you believe this is the 12th Star Trek movie? The fan base includes a club in Anderson called the USS Endeavor, named for a ship. We talked to several Trekkers at a fundraiser held by the Endeavor at an Anderson theater the other day at Mounds Mall. One of those in charge was Roy Jackson, a 50-something high school art teacher with 3 degrees from Ball State University.
When somebody joins the club, do they come in as an ensign, able-bodied seaman, or what would it?
They come in as enlisted. Recruit is their first initial entry. And then if they want, they can take the cadet exam through the academy. And if they get 100%, well, if they pass the test in the academy, they become an ensign. If they get 100% on the test, they become lieutenant junior grade. And then every 6 months, they're eligible for promotion. Doesn't mean they'll get it. If they're active in the club and they're in 6 months have passed, then their captain can put in a request for a promotion, and then they can move up the ranks that way, you know, lieutenant commander.
There's your group, and then there's another national group, right? So there's Starfleet Command, and then is there another fan group as well out
there's
there?
There's a lot of them. There's the United Federation of Trekkies. There's, Starfleet International. We're Starfleet Command. There's, the Romulan Star Empire, Klingon Expeditionary Forces. They're all Star Trek fan clubs, and they're all national fan clubs.
Where does yours fit in with that? Is yours older, young?
Yeah. Well, we're the oldest. We started in 74. Most of them have come up after that. The average fan club lasts 3 years. So we're pretty proud of the fact that we've been around since 1974.
And do you think membership is increasing with these recent movies?
Yes. Yeah, I've been the fleet commander of Starfleet Command Quadrant 1 for 2.5 years, and we're probably up close to 50% on membership. It's gone way up. And I think the movies have a lot to do with that. Younger people are finding an interest.
Is this movie more significant than previous films, do you think, for any particular reason, or is it just, you know, one more?
Well, 5 years ago, we were pretty much under the impression that Star Trek was dead. They weren't going to do any movies. They weren't going to do any more TV shows. Enterprise ended after only 4 seasons, and we thought it was dead in the water. And then J.J. Abrams brought it back, so that movie, number 11, was the most significant because it breathed life back into Star Trek. This movie is more of a continuation of that, and it's bringing in younger fans who never saw the original series, as well as kind of gives us some hope that, you know, Star Trek can move forward.
It looks like you're very active. You guys have built a chair. You're doing a fundraiser here at the Mounds Mall. Mm-hmm. Are you one of the more active clubs in Indiana, would you say? Or?
No, actually. I mean, all of the clubs are so active. We've got the Gorkon, the Indianapolis, the Adventure, the Halsey. I mean, there's just ships everywhere, and they're all very active, especially this weekend. They're all doing fundraisers because of the Star Trek movie, and they're always doing, you know, and we have message boards and listservs where we post Facebook, and people are constantly posting, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this. Never seen so many busy people as Trekkies.
What's your favorite TOS original series episode? Tribbles?
Nope. I'm more cerebral, I guess. I like Balance of Terror. It's the first time that Kirk met a Romulan, and they found out that Romulans were of the same race as Vulcans.
Are you guys? You guys must be the toughest audience possible for a Star Trek film.
Yeah, it's amazing because my friend Mark and I saw it last night for the first time, and we didn't say a word until today. We waited to think about it, and we had nothing but comments and comments about, you know, how it. Basically the mistakes from the TOS, from the original series.
The more you know, sort of the canon.
The canon, that's it. Yeah, you have to follow the canon. You know, that was a great thing about Star Trek The Experience when we went out there. They had the canon listed on the timeline, and you could read and follow everything that happened in the Star Trek universe in order. And so, and it was right. and Trekkies know. So.
Do you go to national meetings? I mean, is there an overarching Star Trek conference somewhere?
Actually, in Indianapolis, we have our annual meeting for the Quadrant One, and we have a semi-annual meeting in July. The annual meeting is in November, and they're always held in Indianapolis because...
For all of North America, you mean?
All of North America, yeah. So we get people... Well, it's also Starbase Indy is the November convention in Indy for Trekkies, and it's always a big deal, and they always give us a room to have our meeting so we don't have, you know, pay anything. And so we advertise it, and it brings people in, and it helps them, it helps us.
For somebody who's not been to that, what's the November meeting like?
It's kind of a half meeting, half party, really. We have door prizes, and we give out, and we have some games going on. We also have our annual awards, you know, for Ship of the Year, Officer of the Year, in junior and senior class. We have all kind of Recruiter of the Year, so we have all these different awards. It's a big presentation. So, like I said, it's a lot of like a big party slash meeting.
Now, it used to be that I think that there was some derision or teasing of Trekkers, Trekkies.
Yeah.
Are we past that now, do you think? You guys get the respect you're due?
No, we'll never be past it. It's great. But now we accept it. You know, it's not like, oh, don't call me a Trekkie or don't call me a geek. It's like, yeah, I'm a geek, but what about it? You know, I have a doctorate. What are you going to do? So we take it in stride now. It's not a big deal.
Roy Jackson, leader of a Star Trek fan club that includes an Anderson group that was at Mounds Mall the other day for the new film Star Trek Into Darkness. They had a replica of Captain Kirk's chair and an assortment of uniform shirts that people could put on, sit in the chair and have their photos taken. Nowadays, it seems as if every blockbuster series has its unusual fans. Think of the folks who dressed up for the Harry Potter movies. But the Star Trek people did it first. They boldly went where no fans had gone before, and still hold their own in the superfan pantheon. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. And glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. And if you like, consider sending us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, your favorite vacation story, that kind of thing. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder. Speak your piece and email the file to us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.